From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Monday, January 14th, 2019. And on this day, a proposal to loosen requirements for teacher certification in Maine has some people worried. And we'll look at what snowmobiling adds to Maine's economy. That's ahead in just a moment. TSA employees are still working without pay at Maine's airports. They missed their first paycheck on Friday. TSA workers are deemed essential, so they are continuing to work during the shutdown, and the union that represents them says it's becoming more and more of a burden. Gabriel Pereira with the American Federation of Government Employees District Office for New York and New England says the average TSA officer only makes about $35,000 a year. And he says the legislation promising back pay offers no immediate relief.
Well, that doesn't do anything right now. I mean, if you have to pay your rent and you give your landlord a letter saying, well, you'll get back pay at some point in the future, the landlord is going to laugh at you. Real life doesn't work like that.
He says he's heard about some workers who aren't getting paid and who are thinking about looking for new jobs.
And in some ways, I can completely understand that, because if you're going to a job every day and you're being told you're not going to be paid and we're not sure when this is going to end, and you've got someone sitting in the White House saying that this could go on for months and months, what would you do?
Workers can also apply for unemployment during the shutdown, but they may have to pay it back if and when they receive back pay. Pedrera says upwards of about 50 TSA employees work in Maine. Meanwhile, federal courts in our state are also about to run out of money, but hearings, trials, and new cases will continue during the shutdown. Chief Judge John Levy says that since the shutdown began, the judiciary has taken steps to reduce expenses. It's also been able to use funds on hand and court fees to maintain a regular schedule. But after Friday, January 18th, Levy says the courts won't have any money to pay employees or for other expenses. Federal law does mandate, though, that the courts continue operating, including processing new and pending criminal, civil, and bankruptcy cases.
And so that means that our staff will be working without pay, and to a large degree, or to some degree, I should say, some of our staff will be furloughed.
Levy says court officials are currently identifying which workers are essential and which ones will be furloughed. According to the latest report from the U.S. Department of Education, Maine schools are in need of teachers in all kinds of subjects, from math and science to Spanish and special education. The State Department of Education has proposed loosening some of its certification requirements, which some school officials hope can help address the shortage. But the State Teachers Union has expressed some concerns about the proposed rule changes at a public hearing earlier today. Robbie Feinberg was there.
The lengthy proposal would change several requirements for becoming a teacher in the state and also introduce a new pathway to teaching. Currently, most teachers are required to graduate from one of the state's educator preparation programs before getting their license. The new pathway, however, would allow someone to become a secondary level teacher without that teaching degree. Instead, the candidate would need a bachelor's degree, 8 years of relevant, quote, work experience, and only 3 college education courses on subjects such as classroom management. A similar proposal failed to garner enough support in the legislature last year. And at Monday's public hearing, there was pushback again from the State Teachers Union.
We must take care not to shortchange our students and not to take shortcuts that may have long-term negative effects.
Maine Education Association President Grace Levitt says her organization understands the need for increasing the number of teachers in the state, but she's concerned that only relevant work experience and a few college courses won't adequately prepare a new teacher for the classroom.
There is much more to teaching than many people not in the profession may realize, and we do not want to diminish quality merely in order to increase quantity.
The union is also worried that schools, particularly in rural districts, may not have enough resources to support and mentor these new teachers with little classroom experience. On the other hand, school administrators were largely positive about the changes. Vicki Wallach, the director of communications and government relations with the Maine School Management Association, says the organization supports the new pathway. However, Wallach worries that new rules for recruiting employees from other states could be burdensome, including a pathway that would require years of experience for certain administrators to be certified.
We feel like that it's putting up barriers instead of, given the teacher shortage we have, We need an easier pathway.
In an email, a spokesperson for the Department of Education said that the agency could only answer clarifying questions about the proposed rules. The DOE is taking comments on the proposed changes through January 28th. The rules still need to go through the legislature, which will likely have a public hearing on them later this year. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
And in the interest of disclosure, the Maine Education Association represents many of Maine Public's news staff. Maine winters can be cold and long and hard for small businesses. But there's one recreational pursuit that has been quietly, or loudly actually, putting money into some of the remotest tills in the state. Jennifer Mitchell hit the trails of Western Maine, and she has this story.
So this is yours. Okay.
Johnny Wakefield of Rangeley is giving me my first snowmobile lesson. Important stuff, like know your brake from your throttle.
Okay, so that's a brake.
Nope.
That's the throttle.
That's your throttle.
Wakefield works in sales at Aquasic Marine on the shores of Rangeley Lake. In the summertime, the business outfits recreational boaters who come to fish and water ski on the lake. But in winter, it's one of a growing number of local businesses that rely on power sledders to see them through the less hospitable months.
Snowmobiling has saved this area.
With the Saddleback Ski Resort closed for 3 years now, Wakefield says without snowmobiling and the kind of winter weather that sends beach worshippers fleeing south, you could put a closed sign on the little mountain town until late spring.
You know, I don't even want to think what would happen if we didn't have a good season up here until the mountain opens again.
Mary Bry of Rangeley was also disappointed when Saddleback closed, but she says it was a pleasant surprise to discover that winter tourism could still thrive. Bry, who is vice president of the local volunteer snowmobile club, says her group redoubled its efforts to assist businesses hurt by the loss of downhill skiing. After 3 years, she says the town's efforts to rebrand and market the region as a snowmobiling destination are paying off.
I've never seen it this busy as it is this year. All the restaurants, all the hotels, they're all packed every weekend. It's been phenomenal. It's shown that we can go on without the mountain.
But Johnny Wakefield says while volunteer snowmobile clubs in Rangeley, Eustis, Stratton, and Jackman have successfully started doing PR, he thinks the state could be more helpful in marketing power sports in the other Maine.
They're funneling a lot more money to coastal and lobsters and things like that. They push a lot on the ski industry. There's definitely a lot more money that could go to snowmobiling.
Both Wakefield and Bry belong to the Rangeley Lakes Snowmobile Club, a volunteer group that manages the region's trail system. More than 280 similar clubs across Maine collectively maintain some 14,000 miles of snowy trails. On this day, we're taking what's considered a short 70-mile round-trip ride to have lunch at a remote lodge on the northern shore of Aziskahos Lake.
The biggest thing is when you're coming in the corners, lean a little bit with the sled.
Like a bike?
Yep.
Wakefield and Bry lead our expedition down an alpine trail, snaking through the woods, over streams, around active logging operations, and then we cross the frozen lake itself. After some minor mishaps involving tight turns and deep snow, for me anyway, we arrive at Bosbuck Mountain Camps, not far from the New Hampshire border. There are 16 sleds in the parking lot. Bob Myers, executive director of the Maine Snowmobile Association, and safety specialist Al Sweat have come along for the ride, their first of the season.
Felt good to be back out there. Felt nice. It's a beautiful day. I mean, you've got a little snow, good scenery, trails are great.
I'm surprised we haven't seen any animals.
Yeah.
You know, deer and moose.
Do you have anything you want warmed up? Like, I bring your helmets in?
Bring all your helmets.
Yeah, bring your helmets.
Built in 1912, Bosbuck is a traditional sporting lodge known for its rustic hospitality, especially its home-style meals. A sign on the front desk encourages guests to talk to each other. As one of Maine's more remote outposts, Bosbuck is a bit of a paradox, with power sledders roaring down the trail to get to one of the slowest, quietest spots around. There's no Wi-Fi or cell service here, and it's off the grid. The lights, powered by generators, sometimes wink off unexpectedly.
It's kind of like a traditional stop. Come on in, have a beer or something to eat if you're hungry, and then continue off and go for a little more riding in Maine.
Jay Lawrence of Attleboro, Massachusetts, and his 19-year-old son Nick are on their annual father-son journey that lasts about a week. Nick says snowmobiling is something he's been doing since he was young.
Just what we like to do in the winter.
And what's the longest ride you've ever done?
Probably like around 200, 250 miles in one day.
During a 250-mile ride, are there places to stop on the way, like little pit stops?
Yeah, usually that we got to find those. That's how we can go that far, so we can get more gas and stuff like that.
So really having those pit stops is kind of crucial for long-distance snowmobiling as an industry.
Yeah, definitely.
The buffalo chicken wrap's wonderful.
Okay. I'm wearing so many clothes, I don't know if I can make it up these stairs.
Bo's Bucks co-owner, Wendy Yates, says snowmobiling was a big factor in her family's decision to purchase the lodge in 2007. They needed it to be a four-season enterprise, but she says there aren't enough skiers or snowshoers to sustain the business.
Just would not have the volume of people we would need in order to sustain a full staff year-round. So being able to be open year-round really helps to keep the same staff here around. You provide somebody full-time employment.
Last year, more than 80,000 people registered sleds to ride in Maine. What's not known is how much they contributed to the economy. But this year, the Maine Snowmobile Association and the University of Maine are planning a study to find out. And MSA safety expert Al Sweat has a guess.
I know it's billions. It's got to be billions.
For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Jennifer Mitchell.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Monday, January 14th, 2019. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.